Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Breaking news tonight. After a so-called sighting of missing autistic boy Sebastian Rogers at a Blue Ridge Mountains rest stop, Sebastian's dad, Seth, tells us it's him. And with us tonight, live, Dad Seth Rogers to address that polygraph. Tonight, where is missing autistic boy Sebastian Rogers? Good evening. I'm Nancy Grace. This is Crime Stories. I want to thank you for being with us.
A woman rushing to meet family at the Visitor's Center in the Blue Ridge Mountains of North Carolina takes a photo of the area and the people hanging around. When she takes a closer look at the photo later, she realizes that a boy in the photo bears a striking resemblance to Sebastian Rogers and contacts authorities. Investigators have been trying to locate the person in the photo. The sheriff's office confirms that they have reached out to North Carolina authorities about the picture. But so far, nothing credible has resulted from their inquiries.
Tonight, a mysterious update in the search for a missing autistic boy as a woman shares a photo of a little boy bearing an uncanny resemblance to missing autistic boy Sebastian Rogers. Joining us, an all-star panel to make sense of what we are hearing. But first, I want to go straight out to Sebastian's father joining us, Seth Rogers. You can find him at hashtag Sebastian Strong. Seth, thank you for being with us. Seth, I was stunned when I saw the side-by-side of Sebastian and the boy spotted at the guest center. What do you make of it?
When I saw the picture, I turned around and loaded up the vehicle and off to North Carolina I went.
Lauren Conlon is joining us, investigative journalist and host of the Outlier podcast. Lauren, thank you for being with us. What can you tell me about the sighting? Because the authorities are not saying it's not him. They are saying, quote, nothing credible is pointing to the sighting of Sebastian. In other words, they haven't been able to confirm it yet. Remember, this is like a rest stop, a tourist center. People are visiting there that could live in any of the surrounding states.
Absolutely, Nancy. And I think what's important to note here is that North Carolina authorities have not identified the boy in the photo. So as of right now, it's still considered a potential lead.
Guys, joining us is Seth Rogers, Sebastian's dad, and Lauren Conlon, host of Outlier Podcast. Seth, tell me what went through your mind when you first saw this photo. And when you compare them side by side, it's really uncanny.
Now my son's alive. Then he looks good in the picture. I mean, he's got clothes on. He's got shoes on.
Do you recognize the clothes?
No, I don't.
How about the shoes?
Don't recognize those either. They look brand new.
Yes, they do. In fact, the clothes look new as well. How far away, in your estimation, Seth, is this rest stop, tourist attraction area from Sebastian's home?
It's about 6 hours, give or take, with traffic.
How did you become aware of the sighting, the alleged sighting?
People started calling me and asking me about the picture. And then people turned around and started sending me the picture.
And again, what went through your mind when you first saw it?
I got to go. I got to go up there. I got to see. I mean, the picture's there. I wanted to go see the footage because I figured there'd be some type of surveillance.
And did you go?
I did. I drove up to North Carolina.
You took the 6 hour plus ride to North Carolina to investigate this photo, and what, if anything, did you learn when you got there?
That I wasn't allowed to see the video footage.
Why?
I was told it's an active investigation, so I'm not allowed to see it.
Who told you that, Seth?
People at the park.
It's my understanding the woman who took the picture was also convinced that this looked exactly like Sebastian and handed it over to the TBI, the Tennessee Bureau of Investigation, and then later it was posted online. Is that your understanding, Seth?
Yes, ma'am.
Seth, when you saw this picture, how did it make you feel?
Gave me hope. It rekindled what hope I was losing.
Seth, I'm looking at the way the boy is standing in this photo. I know you've looked at it a million times. He's got his right arm somewhat over his stomach. And I'm wondering, does this pose look familiar to you?
By the looks of it, he's stepping down off the rocks and stuff. He's looking at where he's going.
Yeah.
But he's also been missing for 2 months. So his demeanor and everything could possibly have shifted.
In what way? Why do you say that?
I haven't heard from my son in 2.5 months. You know, if he's not, he doesn't have a phone with him. You know, he hasn't heard from me. If somebody convinced him to go away and won't give him a phone, I don't know. I
mean, let me ask you, Seth, is it correct that your PI that you had to hire, which is a whole nother can of worms, spoke to the person that took the photo?
No. My other PI, Chloe, she's the one that spoke with him.
I couldn't hear you. What?
The other PI on the case. She's the one that spoke with him.
So a PI on the case did speak with the photographer, correct?
Yes, ma'am.
And what did the PI learn?
When she took the picture and why she didn't call 911 immediately and what she did when she reviewed the picture and the fact that she asked why she put it on social media, and it was because she stated that it was because TBI didn't get back with her after she had submitted it.
What else did you learn? Why did she decide to take the picture? And what else could she tell you through the PI about who this boy was with?
Nothing.
What was he doing? Was he crying? Did he look hungry? Was he with a man or a woman?
The individual that took the picture, it was actually her husband that took the picture because he was faster with his phone than she was. And they were driving by. And he took the picture. And then when they were able to look at it, they submitted it to TBI. They didn't hear back from TBI that they had received the picture or anything else, so they put it out on social media.
Guys, the photo we're talking about. To Lauren Conlon joining us. Lauren, exactly where is this rest stop or tourist attraction?
So it's in North Carolina. It is the Blue Ridge Mountains Visitor Center. And like Seth said, Sebastian did not appear to be in this photo. And I think all of us are very hopeful. And I think it's amazing that Seth went to North Carolina and drove 5 hours from Tennessee.
Back to Seth. Did the man or the woman see who the boy was with?
No, they said they didn't even know if they were with the group or not. They didn't know if the lady was with them.
What lady? The lady in the pink shirt?
Yeah.
Did he emerge from a car?
They just saw him as they drove through where they're at right now was like the parking lot is behind there. Right in front of there is the entrance into like the gift shop.
Yeah.
So him being there, there's no way to see if he was getting in or out of a car right there.
So he was on his way into the gift shop, Seth?
That's the direction that he's heading.
Well, that seems to me that there should be gift shop surveillance video or at least other witnesses. So is that the surveillance video you were trying to get, Seth?
Yes, it was.
Now, we know that a statement has been issued that, quote, nothing credible is pointing to any sign of Sebastian. That's pretty vague. Nothing credible is pointing to any sign of Sebastian. That's incredibly vague. It doesn't say this picture is a hoax, this picture is a fake, this is not Sebastian. They're not saying any of that. What do you make of that response, Seth?
That they don't know what to say.
Joining me, guys, also is Irv Brandt, renowned investigator, former U.S. Marshals Service International Investigations Branch, and author of Flying Solo, Top of the World on Amazon. Irv, thank you so much for being with us. Now, this is a conundrum. If this boy is Sebastian the way his father thinks that it is, I mean, look at it for Pete's sake. Look at the side-by-side. The chin, the jawline, the nose, the hair. It's uncanny. It's at a tourist gift shop in the middle of the Blue Ridge Mountains. It's a needle in a haystack. Herb Brandt, what do we do?
Nancy, the video, the picture, the way I see it, and if the father says that's his son, that's good enough for me, of course. But the investigation is going to center around trying to get anyone that was there at that time, maybe looking at video of the parking lot, running down tag numbers, trying to find other witnesses, other people that may have been shooting video and inadvertently captured his image on their video. I can imagine that the police are just, you know, the investigators in this case from multiple agencies are just searching all different kinds of avenues, looking for clues. And when they make a comment like no credible evidence so far, it's basically like saying no comment on the investigation. They don't want to say either way, but I would imagine that this is a crucial piece of information to their investigation.
Well, to me, and of course, I'm just a trial lawyer, the first thing I would do is pull that surveillance video the way Seth Rogers described, and I would go in and look for every single receipt. At the time, that picture was taken, and the photographer gives us the time and the date that it was taken, every single receipt. Then I would find out if there's any surveillance video in the parking lot. Just find out if he went to a car, which obviously he did. What car? It's got to be on surveillance video. Agree, disagree, Irv Brandt? I mean, you're the former U.S. Marshal going all the way around the world finding people. What do you do next?
Nancy, I agree. I mean, the car is the most critical thing. If you can identify the car that he got out of, even if you don't have a tag number, the make and the model of the car would be just crucial to send out a bolo to the surrounding states, then potentially finding witnesses at that time. Like you said, checking receipts in the gift shop and interviewing people that were there at the time, you know, something that they may have seen. An autistic boy may stick out in their memory, you know, seeing him, and they may have, you know, looked at that person, at that boy, at the people that he was with, and if a skilled investigator asks the right questions to these people, it can lead to crucial leads in this case.
I still say it's a needle in a haystack, but a needle can be found in a haystack. Seth Rogers with us, Sebastian's dad. Seth, when you look at these two photos side by side, I was looking at the nose, the chin, the jawline, the demeanor, the hair. What looks similar to you?
All of the above. His nose, I mean, the way his hair that comes over, I mean...
What do you mean by that?
Everything on there just screams my son.
What do you mean by that? His hair, because his hair goes in the same direction. My son has a cowlick in a certain spot on his head.
Yeah.
And no matter what happens, his hair tries to part in the middle. Since he was born with no hair, but you could see kind of like a little part in the fuzz. And it's been that way forever. And I'm looking at the way this boy's hair is going over toward... Yeah, it's the same as Sebastian's.
It looks like my son.
Nancy, Jackie Howard here. The local sheriff says the boy in the photo is not Sebastian.
Seth, one more time. Do you believe this photo captured in the Blue Ridge Mountains is Sebastian?
I do.
Straight out to Tony Mathis, who is helping Seth Rogers in this very, very difficult time of need. Tony, question. You've heard the response of LE law enforcement, quote, nothing credible is pointing to any sign of Sebastian. What does that mean?
Well, I'll tell you what it means to me. It means that It's a plausible deniability statement. It gives them an out if they do indeed find it to be him. It's just a very vague statement. You know, there's a lot of ways to deliver that information that would get people to believe that, yes, it's him, or no, it's not him. And I don't think that that delivery did anything to assure people one way or the other.
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Seth, did you say you have or have not, would not take a polygraph?
I would.
Wonderful. If I set one up for you, will you take the polygraph?
Yes, ma'am.
We all remember that moment when I put Sebastian's father, Seth, on the hot seat on national TV and asked him, would he be willing to take a polygraph? He said yes. He did take a polygraph. Straight back out to Seth Rogers. Joining us is Sebastian's father. And now joining us is a renowned polygrapher, Kendall Shull, former head of the entire FBI polygraph program in D.C., former special agent with the FBI in D.C. He is at Kendall Investigations. Also joining us, Tony Mathis, who is helping Seth Rogers as he walks this very, very rocky path. First of all, let me just get this out of the way. This is a yes, no, Kendall Shull. Did Seth Rogers pass his polygraph?
Yes, he did.
Okay, Seth Rogers, tell me about going and taking the polygraph. We want to hear every single word, because I've got a stack of nasty online posts about you failing, about you not going, blah, blah, blah. A lot of trolls chiming in. Let's get to the truth of that polygraph. Seth, what happened?
I showed up early for the polygraph. Mr. Kendall contacted me and told me that he'd be there well before the time that we had stated, so I showed up and I sat in the chair and let him attach those things to me and took the polygraph.
Have you ever had a polygraph before?
No, ma'am.
And what kind of questions did the polygrapher, Kendall Shull, ask you?
If I had ever wanted to harm anybody, if I ever wanted to hurt my son, if I had ever hurt my son, if I'd ever had anything to do with his disappearance.
Question. You said they hooked you up. What do you mean by that, Seth Rogers?
They put things on my hands. They wrapped cords around me. They had a blood pressure cuff on me to measure my blood pressure, measure my heart rate, my breathing rate, things like that.
How long did it take?
It took a minute.
It took 60 seconds? Could you be precise or more precise? How long do you think it took?
We were there for 3 hours, 4 hours.
That's about right. It's not easy. Okay, sit tight, Seth. And again, thank you for being with us. Out to Kendall Shull, as I told you, former head of the entire FBI polygraph program in D.C. Kendall, thank you. When we put out the word that Seth Rogers would take a polygraph, we contacted you because of your reputation. You quickly agreed, and I thank you for that. Again, this was not free. He was paid to do the polygraph. He owes nothing to anybody, and therefore was not swayed one way or the other. He had never met Seth Rogers before in his life. Mr. Shull, I've looked very carefully at your polygraph report right here. Number one, you start off by saying it was conducted using a comparison question format that meets U.S. government standards. What is a comparison question format? What is that?
It's a format that's well accepted by the polygraph community, particularly the American Polygraph Association. There are certain formats that we can use that are more acceptable, that we know are more reliable, and this was one of those, certainly a test format that I would want to use to make sure we're doing everything right to get the correct results. So this is a format of polygraph that is widely accepted as a standard in the FBI world and in the polygraph world in general.
Now, you also state that you used state-of-the-art Lafayette LX6, the computerized polygraph system. And I'm wondering, is that, for instance, when you get on an elevator and you see the last time it was inspected and you see the type of elevator it is, or you take a mammogram and you see the last time it was inspected and the type of equipment, machine that's being used. So you say the polygraph charts were the data was collected using state-of-the-art Lafayette LX6 computerized polygraph system. What is that? And please dummy down for me. I'm just a trial lawyer.
Now, there are several companies that make polygraph equipment. The one that that the FBI uses, the one that I've always used, the one that I believe is the best, is the Lafayette system. There are different versions of that polygraph equipment. It obviously is always has additions and corrections and made to it. I started out with an LX4, I believe it was, went to a 5. And then the latest state-of-the-art equipment that Lafayette currently makes is the LX6 that, of course, we keep up with the proper software that's required as well. But that is the state of art. That's the best polygraph instrument, I believe, that is out there in the polygraph world.
Well, you had me at the FBI uses it. Is that what you said? This is what the FBI uses?
I did, yes. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. If it's good enough for them, it's good enough for me. Also, when I'm getting to the end of my technical questions, I like to lay a foundation before I get into the meat of the issue. The polygraph charts were evaluated numerically and globally. What does that mean?
It means we look at it globally to see if we see any issues with the collection of the charts, the physiology that's collected. We kind of get an idea, but the numerically means that we actually give a number to each relevant question that's asked, and we give it a plus or a minus. And there are certain scores that we believe have to be obtained in order to either pass or fail somebody or call them, you know, no opinion. But in addition to that numerical score that I gave, there are also two scoring algorithms that we use that the computer has that scores the charts, that way.
Okay,
and
hold
therefore
on. Kendall Shule, when you start talking about algorithms, okay, you lost me. I said dummy down. You also said this opinion is applicable only to these questions, not to be construed as an assessment of Seth Rogers' truthfulness in other areas. That makes sense. You also state there are three outcomes. One, deception indicated. Two, no opinion. And the other is no deception indicated, correct? Three choices, right?
That's correct. That's correct.
Okay. Now, could you tell me what was Seth Rogers' demeanor when he entered your office?
We had a great conversation. Like you said, it took a long time. We sat and talked for a long time. I collected some background information from him to make sure that he's suitable for testing. In my opinion, he was.
Wait a minute, boss. Suitable for testing. You mean he's not drunk or high, right? Is that what that means?
Exactly. Exactly.
You know, did you do the smell test? I've always wondered if polygraphers, like whenever my twins have to go somewhere on a bus or a school event, even a plane, I always go up and speak to the driver or the pilot to just get a whiff if they've been drinking. So you assess the participant as to whether they may be drunk or high or on meds.
We do. We observe that, obviously. And, you know, we're in close proximity to talking to each other. If he had any alcohol in his breath, I believe I would have known it, particularly when I'm attaching the components to him for the polygraph test. I'm right in his face. So, yes, I would have observed if he had any alcohol in his breath.
His demeanor, you say, seems relaxed. Did it remain relaxed throughout the polygraph?
It did seem really relaxed.
Mr. Shule, you conducted the polygraph, and what were the critical questions that you asked Seth Rogers, Sebastian's father.
The relevant questions, as we call them, that I asked Seth on the polygraph test to determine if he was involved in any way in this child's disappearance were, number one, regarding doing anything to cause the disappearance of Sebastian Rogers, do you plan to answer those questions truthfully? He responded, yes. I then asked him, did you do anything that could have caused that boy's disappearance who we discussed today? The answer was no. And the third question was, were you involved in any way in the disappearance of that boy who we discussed today? He responded, no.
Guys, you are hearing the former head of the FBI polygraph program, Kendall Shule, who polygraphed Sebastian Rogers' biological father, Seth. Now, before you ask these three questions, do you plan to answer truthfully? Did you do anything that caused Sebastian's disappearance? Were you involved in any way in the disappearance of Sebastian? Before you ask those, I assume you asked several lead-up questions to get a barometer of how the polygraph would respond to Seth Rogers, correct?
There were what we call control questions. You know, they might be, are we in the state of Tennessee? Is today Wednesday? Those sort of things. And those are the control questions that we get where we know he's telling the truth to.
With us is Seth Rogers, Sebastian's biological father. Also with us is the polygrapher who took the polygraph, Kendall Shule, and Tony Mathis, who is helping Seth weave his way through this very difficult time in his life. And Mr. Shule, let me ask you one more question. Isn't it true that you attempted a polygraph on Seth Rogers before this polygraph?
I believe we tried to set one up, but it didn't go through for some reason.
Kendall Shule, again, did you find Seth Rogers to be cooperative?
I found Seth to be extremely cooperative. He did everything I asked him to do. There were absolutely no problems with the interview that we had, as well as attaching the components and getting good physiology to show that he showed no signs of deception on this polygraph. I did a numerical scoring, as we talked about before, that showed that he passed. I also ran two algorithms through the computer that showed that he passed. I even went a step further when I got home and had another retired FBI agent that I knew come in and do a, what we call a blind scoring of these charts, not knowing whether who it was, what it was about, whether he passed, whether he failed, and he also agreed with my opinion of no deception indicated.
Back to Seth Rogers. This is Sebastian's dad. Isn't it true, Seth, that you tried to take the polygraph a time before this one and it didn't work? What happened?
I was on prescribed medication for nerve. I've got a pinched nerve in my C5 and C6 that caused me pain down my right arm. So they put me on prescribed medication for dealing with the pain and trying to get it to relax.
What med was that?
It was cyclobenzaprine, which is a muscle relaxer, and gabapentin, which is a nerve blocker.
Seth, you have been the subject of so much hate online. I don't understand it. I've got a stack of printouts of what people have put on Insta and Twitter and Facebook and blah, blah. For instance, this one says, we had a meeting this evening and one of the moms, her daughter is an intern and works with Nancy Grace. She said a rumor is that Seth failed the polygraph. Total fail. And now Nancy's team is doing damage control. Nancy was cussing because she was in a, quote, pissy mad mood. She told them polygraphs are not reliable. And so we have to be fair and say it's inconclusive. Nancy's team was mad. They don't like him because he was rude not long ago and they refused to cover for him. This doesn't, A, we don't have an intern, but this doesn't even make any sense. We knew all along from the beginning that Kendall tried the poly, that you were on the muscle relaxers, and you volunteered to do it again. All of this is true. This is just one of hundreds of people attacking you. Why? Seth, why?
Why do people get death threats for looking for their kid?
Crime Stories with Nancy Grace.
Over 2 months into the search for Sebastian Rogers, a hope for a lead comes out of the town of Goodlettsville, Tennessee. Could a pair of pants found about 12 miles north of Nashville be related to Sebastian Rogers? It hasn't been disclosed where the pants were found.
In the last hour's mysterious update in the search for a missing autistic boy, Sebastian Rogers, after a woman shares a photo of a boy that is uncannily similar to Sebastian all the way up in the Smoky Mountains. This as a pair of pants, much like a pair of glasses, are taking center stage. Straight out to Lauren Collin, joining us, investigative journalist, host of The Outlier. Lauren, thank you for being with us. Lauren, tell me about the pants.
Yes, so May 2nd, these pants were found by a volunteer that was searching, and they were sweatsuit style, black, allegedly what Sebastian was last seen in. And authorities confirmed that they are unrelated, but they still said they've received, as of April, over 300 tips, and they are investigating all of them.
Okay, I want to get back to the pants. Did you say they were black sweatpants?
Black and sweatsuit style.
Sweatsuit style, color black?
Yes.
Okay, where were they found, Lauren Conlon?
So it has not been disclosed exactly where, but Goodlettsville, it's 12 miles from Nashville. It's part of Sumner County and Davidson County, Tennessee, depending which side you're on. So it's kind of nearby Sebastian's home.
Back to Seth Rogers. This is Sebastian's father. You can find him online at hashtag Sebastian Strong. There is a GoFundMe to support him in his efforts. He's had to hire a private investigator, and he goes hours and hours and hours, day after day after day, searching for his son. He most recently returned from that rest stop we showed you where there was an alleged sighting of Sebastian. That's GoFundMe, Finding Sebastian Rogers Family Support. Seth, what, if anything, have you been told about that pair of black sweatpants?
That they are not related to my son.
Do you know where they were found?
I know that they were found at a particular park.
A park. Do you know if they were the right size?
No.
Who told you the information about the pants?
I received a text message from the
law enforcement
detective over the case. Yeah.
Okay. Question. Do you know what condition they were in, or if any DNA analysis was done for touch DNA, hair, fiber, anything that relate back to Sebastian? How did they suddenly decide, oh yeah, these aren't his?
They said that the size was wrong.
Wasn't he last seen wearing black sweatpants, as we were told by the Proudfoots?
Correct.
Seth, when you learned that sweatpants had been found but were ruled out, according to law enforcement, how did that make you feel? What did that do to your will to keep searching?
And they said that those didn't belong to him. It just reinforced that North Carolina, my son was there.
Sebastian Rogers goes missing. Mother Katie Proudfoot leaves the family home to be with her husband in their travel trailer while he goes back to work around the Memphis area. While Sebastian's father, Seth Rogers, and an army of volunteers continue to look for Sebastian, Katie Proudfoot says she is concerned about leaving, but defends the decision to leave by saying her son could be anywhere and they are looking everywhere. Katie Proudfoot doesn't know when she will return to her home.
Katie Proudfoot has reportedly not gone back to work. We reached out to the Proudfoots asking if they would share their current location. The Proudfoots saying, for safety reasons, they are keeping their location private.
Joining us, an all-star panel, Tony Mathis is joining us along with Sebastian's father, Seth Rogers. Tony Mathis, what do you make of the Proudfoots leaving the area and not taking part in any searches?
Nancy, we really don't want to get into commenting about the Proudfoots at this time, but I will tell you that I spoke to Chris and Katie early on, and I do know that Katie was getting a lot of threats, so it was deemed to be better for her safety to to go with Chris and go back to where he was working. So outside of that, I don't really want to get into comment about why they did what they did.
To Seth Rogers, Sebastian's dad, what do you make of the Proudfoots leaving the area and not taking part of any searches that we know of for Sebastian?
People have to live with their decisions that they make.
It's my understanding that you are refusing to comment on the Proudfoots.
Not speaking about them.
Understood. And why?
I don't have anything to say about their actions. I can speak for myself.
Tony?
We have given Chris and Katie our word, we meaning Seth and I, that we're going to keep the interviews focused on Sebastian. We're doing everything we can do to clean up a lot of the mess that's been created the last 2 months to try to refocus on simply finding Sebastian. So we're simply trying to do our part there, Nancy.
And Mr. Proudfoot, you have volunteered to take a poly?
Yes, ma'am.
If I were to set up a poly for you, would you take it?
Name the place and time, ma'am. I'll be there.
And you're headed back to Memphis right now. Are you in your RV right now?
I am in my RV. We are not disclosing our current location just because of safety reasons due to the YouTubers, the Facebookers out there that have sent some very heinous, threatening information and things of that nature, threatened to be outside of our house, all kinds of nasty things. So,
Lauren Conlon, question. To your knowledge, have the Proudfoots taken a poly and are they searching for Sebastian?
Well, Katie Proudfoot announced pretty early on that she did take a polygraph and she passed. As far as Chris goes, I cannot say that. There's a lot of misinformation whether he took one or not, and if he did take one, if he passed or not. And as far as them searching for Sebastian, they claim that they are working with law enforcement, so whatever that means, that's on them.
To Seth Rogers joining us, Sebastian's dad. Seth, how do you keep going with all of the hate, which I don't understand where that's coming from? How do you even put one foot in front of the other looking for your son?
He's my son. You're not going to stop me from looking for him. The world's full of hate. I choose to ignore it and look for the good. Finding my son is the good.
If you have information or think you have information regarding the whereabouts of Sebastian Rogers, please call 1-800-TBI-FIND, 1-800-824-3463. We stop and remember American hero Charlotte Mecklenburg police officer Joshua Iyer, just 31. He was gunned down with three others trying to serve a warrant in Charlotte, North Carolina. A military vet, he leaves behind his loving wife, Ashley, and three-year-old son, Andrew. American hero, Officer Joshua Iyer. Thank you to our guests. Thank you to MSM. But especially, thank you to you for being with us tonight and every night as our prayers continue for the safe return of teen boy Sebastian Rogers. Nancy Grace signing off. See you tomorrow night, 6 and 9 o'clock sharp Eastern. And until then, good night, friend.